Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome back to Overnight America. I'm your host, Ryan Recker. A big thank you to Anthony Bartlett, who joined us in the last hour. He is so good. Immediately, I walk back into the studio after walking him down to his car, and producer Mike says, he's got a better radio voice than you do. First thing, I walk in, all I do, can't even get the door open immediately. Man, he's got a better voice than you do. And we like to talk about St. Louis. Overnight's a different type of show because we reach such a large geographic audience. You never know who's listening. There could be people in Indiana, like Rich up in Indiana and South Bend could be listening right now. You know, we get listeners from Georgia and Florida calling in. We get listeners from Ohio, Oklahoma. We get listeners from all over the place. They're not necessarily in the metropolitan St. Louis area. So sometimes programs like this reach them, and this is the front door for them to learn about this geographic area. And I'm guilty of this too. When you look at the news stories, a lot of times it's the things that make you mad, make you sad. And that's what you talk about because there's emotions around it, like Daniel Tiger. You need to find out how to control your emotions. And sometimes you talk about those things. Mr. Rogers taught me that. But when I have the ability to go over these things, sometimes you get the wrong impression. If you were to just listen in and say, oh man, he's talking about the crime stats. Oh man, they're talking about this and that. And then sometimes that gives the wrong impression. Let me tell you my impression of St. Louis ever since I moved here. Maybe this would be a good couple minutes to spend because right after the break here in about, 8 minutes or so from now, Danielle DiMartino Booth, she is someone that closely follows the stock market. She is the author of Fed Up. She was a former Federal Reserve insider. I wanted her to help make sense of what's going on with the markets in your dollars and cents in your retirement and all these things. So she's going to join us next and give us some insight into that. You know, and here's another story. This is a good example. After that, KMOV did a story about St. Louis County Police considering ticketing residents who leave cars unattended while they warm up. And I just think that's, what are you doing? Come on. You got to stop hassling people at some point. So maybe I'm part of the problem. I bring up stories like that and I say, here we are, government hassling someone again. But then I fail to bring up some great things like this. And this was over on Fox 2. They received and had a look at the contract for the XFL and how much money this is going to be bringing into St. Louis in the downtown area. Here's what they found out. So the XFL must pay the St. Louis Convention and Visitors Commission $125,000 by January 15th, and then another $125,000 after that. They have to open up a $300,000 line of credit, and then they're going to pay $100,000 for every regular season game and any playoff or additional game after that, another $100,000. So you have Vince McMahon in the WWE. They start the XFL, which is a professional football team, in 2020. And they are owners and operators of this. They're going to be the ones to control all the league. The city doesn't have to do anything. We just have to rent the space to them in the dome. They're going to pay us $100,000 to come in and play a game and attract people in a positive way to St. Louis. That's a win for St. Louis. On top of that, the league is responsible for game day expenses. The league gives complimentary tickets to the Visitors Bureau, and they offer Wi-Fi. Ooh, they threw in Wi-Fi. They really went all out, huh? But what I'm saying is the XFL is going to be paying us because they want to be here. That's good. That's good news. I love what Anthony brought up about building a stadium right next to Grand Union Station and just a little bit west of that. So they have, I think, a restaurant there. They have like an Irish pub or whatever, and there's a parking lot behind it. But just a little bit west of that, there's that block of land where they're talking about where they would develop this soccer stadium if we were awarded an XFL team. And as far as I know, the MLS, Major League Soccer Commissioner, could be in town right now. He could be listening to us right now, for all I know. I like what Anthony brought up, and he said, think about what a stadium right there could do. Yes, it's a good thing to have outside of no development, right? But he said, think about how that connects the different areas, connects downtown to Central West End and some of these other developing areas too. Think about what will develop around it. Think about what it's like when you're driving through that area and you actually see people outside enjoying those areas. What a plus that is. Sometimes when people come into the area, they wonder, like, you know, they might have went to a company in Chicago. And look, everyone's outside. They're walking around. And there's some guy playing the bongos with a bucket. And, you know, here's another person over here. And here's another. And there's a lot of just movement in people. And it looks vibrant. And it looks upbeat. Now, St. Louis isn't necessarily like that. You don't see the giant crowds of people walking all over the place. But it would be nice to have something where people can go to and walk to and do things. And a stadium will do that. And think of the housing in the hotels. That's a good thing. Think about the restaurants and any other businesses associated with that area. That would be a good thing. Think about, not lack of better term, a trail. Think about where instead of them hopping in a car, now they'll feel fine walking by a stadium where there's other people around there to get to some of these areas too. You know, I don't want to use the word trolley by any means, but we don't want to complicate things any more than it needs to be. But there's things, that's a good thing for development. And that's a positive thing that you see in the area too. But even something for people that are criticizing the XFL, they, in the next three seasons, they committed to 3 years. Every game they play, they're going to be paying the city of St. Louis in the St. Louis Convention and Visitors Commission $100,000 per game. Plus, they have all this other money invested into it. And they're responsible for all the game day expenses. Okay. Go ahead, tell me how that's bad, you know? And now think about what, if you have the stadium, think of who says we can't attract more people to use that stadium. Who's to say it's just for Major League Soccer? Who's to say a college can't use that? Who's to say that can't bring in other outside events? Who's to say? I don't know. I think this is such a win when it comes to these sort of things. Will it attract someone that is on the fence about St. Louis? There's probably other matters. They're probably more interested in finding a safe neighborhood. They're probably more interested in what the schools are like. They're probably more interested about just crime. Of course, that's what people think of. But this is one of the first steps you can take as a city in order to change that reputation and change that image. And we need to do more of those. We need to find more of those stories to get out there. It can't just be Andy Cohen on his Real Housewives shows going out there trying to get Bryce Harper to the Cardinals because he's a Cardinals fan. It just can't be that. There's got to be more to it. And I think that's what we're starting to see. And to me, that's exciting. This hour, I want to talk about, as I mentioned, KMOV did a story about county police considering ticketing residents to leave their cars unattended as they warm up. That's a problem everywhere. I don't like that sort of thing. I don't like that you're going to get a ticket for warming your car up. But we'll talk about that too. The economy, up and down, up and down, up and down. Danielle DiMartino Booth, she's going to join us next to talk about what to expect in 2019, but really trying to break down why the market is the way it is right now and looking at some of those unemployment numbers and what that means too with the latest job reports that came out last week. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
More local reporters, more local news. St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather. KMOX.
Joining us now is a former Federal Reserve insider. Check her out with the Daily Feather. Awesome newsletter if you're not signed up for that already. Danielle DiMartino Booth, thank you for coming on to KMOX.
Great to be here.
In your book, Fed Up, an insider's take on why the Federal Reserve is bad for America. There's been a lot of ups and downs. Everyone's watching the stock market. 400 points up here, 400 down here, 500 up, 500 down. It's a roller coaster ride. Can you kind of explain what's going on with all of this?
I try and keep matters as simple as possible. And the way I look at it was 2017, we had peak global liquidity. We had central banks globally printing $2.1 trillion worth of money, effectively quantitative easing. And that really put the markets in a methadone state. And it was a monetary coma, if you will. And we're about to turn negative on that number. At the end of 2018, the slow, painful withdrawal of liquidity, which is the mother's milk of markets, has allowed the volatility genie to come out of her bottle. And that's what we've seen this year. The reason U.S. stocks have been relatively better behaved is that we've had share buybacks in record figures come in this year. that were boosted by the tax bill allowing companies to repatriate cash mm-hmm. at a reduced rate.
And that was something that was limited. There's only so much stock you can buy back in a company. Is that really what's happening now?
Well, it's really a little bit more complicated than that because companies have been borrowing to buy back their shares as well at record levels in the current cycle. Of course, we've seen interest rates increase throughout the year, so that's put a governor on that. And then you have kind of harsh spotlights on companies like General Electric and IBM, who can't seem to earn a profit and can't seem to increase their top-line revenue. And, of course, they're poster children for share buybacks at much higher prices than where their shares are trading today. So that has really caused investors to finally put their foot down and demand of companies that they look to clean up their balance sheets, which they certainly haven't done for some time. So we've seen a massive, massive shift in 2018, and that helps explain why we're having these violent swings in the market that have led us to where we are, which I think is a very precarious point as we look to the new year.
Yeah. Is this going to be normal in the new year, or is this going to somewhat flatline, so we're not going to see these heavy shifts anymore?
Oh, I would think that as long as the European Central Bank follows through with their planned withdrawal of their QE program on January the 1st, I would think that we will actually see more volatility in the coming year.
Oh, boy.
If this is the beginning of a bear market, then it has started off in traditional fashion. In other words, you see a year of complacency, a year when the markets don't move, followed by a lot of ups and downs. But bear markets tend to begin with a lot of movement. In other words, it might feel like a bull market, you know, the longest rally in the history of the market. It might feel like you're just kind of ticking up slowly and birds are chirping and there's unicorns flying and everything's good when stocks are going up. Bear markets begin in a much more violent, upsetting, unsettling fashion. They don't go down in straight lines, but we've certainly had quite a few months to contend with. February, October, even November of this year has not been any fun, and I'm not quite sure where Santa Claus is at this point.
Danielle DiMartino Booth joining us here on KMOX. The jobs came out on Friday. We were taking a look at some of the reports. What do you make of the report that came out?
You know, it was interesting to see the latest jobs report for October. I look for leading indicators in these data reports because it's easy enough to get caught up in the noise. And if there's one thing that really stood out to me, we have a downward revision to the prior month. We obviously had some pockets of weakness. Wage growth wasn't what it should have been. Leading indicator sectors such as construction. Mm-hmm. I'm writing about that for another Daily Feather installment. We saw construction come in at 1/5 its level for the past 12 months. That tells you, because it's a cyclical leading industry, that things are beginning to slow in the economy. And that's just an echo of what we've seen really spread nationwide, which is a rolling over in the housing market. So I think the time has come and gone. We saw the underemployment rate tick up for the first time in the cycle. We haven't seen that happen in some time. People getting part-time jobs because they have to, 231,000 of them. So that was not a promising sign. And in the layoff data that we have coming in that tells us what's to come, we know that companies have just been cutting costs, such as General Motors, and that is probably going to be something that builds on itself headed into 2019.
You know, a lot of people, of course, concerned with the long term, the 401ks, the retirement funds and such. What's the major concern there? Should they really be worried right now?
You know, I think now is the right time to be worried while stocks are still very close to their all-time highs. I think one of the greatest challenges for people in their 401ks is lack of really viable alternatives, lack of good choices. It's been a very long time since investors have had to contend with capital losses in their bond holdings. So that is something that is new and different in the current cycle that I think will probably take investors more by surprise than simply what they're going to be losing in their stock holding. So if December is the last Federal Reserve rate hike of the current cycle, and that's certainly what markets have begun to price in, if that is the case, I can tell you I personally will be locking into some cash-type products for the next few years, just so that I'm secure. And there's no shame in cash when it pays you 3%.
Mm-hmm.
Just so that I'm secure, knowing that, you know, what I've worked for my entire career is not going to be subject to having to work for an extra career to earn it back.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, when you say capital losses in bonds, help me understand that, because I thought bonds were pretty much you just have a set interest rate on it whenever you lock into the bond and it stays that way. You can lose on a bond?
Well, you can, and analysts have begun to be a little bit more forthright in predicting that this upcoming cycle, because corporations have borrowed and levered up like drunken sailors, unlike any cycle in U.S. history. So the percentage of debt at some of these companies is nothing like we've ever seen, which means that people will actually be experiencing, investors will be experiencing outright defaults that they're not expecting.
Wow.
Even in their investment grade holdings, because a lot of companies such as, I'm going to bring General Electric up, trade it like a junk bond overnight, probably taking investors by surprise and giving them whiplash, mainly because it was granted an investment grade rating by credit rating agencies. But we know, once again, in an echo of the subprime mortgage crisis, that we have to be more vigilant in our due diligence and appreciate that even things that appear to be foolproof investments can indeed generate losses.
Yeah. Daniel DiMartino Booth, also CEO at and Director of Intelligence for Quill Intelligence LLC, in the Amazon bestseller Fed Up. You can check out there too. You mentioned the Daily Feather, which is a great email. If anyone wants to learn about these things, this is a great way to really make it feel like you're very smart. You know everything that's going on. It's a quick read. How can people sign up for that?
Go to quillintelligence.com and sign up. If I have to hear my partners tell me one more time that it is stupid cheap, and that's mainly because our subscribers say that it's stupid cheap for $25 a month, I'll scream. But that's not the point. FedUp was very successful, mm-hmm. So I decided to launch the Daily Feather so that I could have a very reasonably priced, quick read, 4.5-5 minutes every morning, every trading day, mm-hmm. that keeps you looking forward to what's to come in the economy, as opposed to doing what so much research does, which is look in the rearview mirror, and what use is that?
Yeah. One other question for you. That we saw the reworking of NAFTA between the United States, Mexico, and Canada. We also have President Trump trying to renegotiate with China. They put a little hold on it, and they're looking towards the next year. So some of these external things that were affecting the markets, how do you see that playing out?
Well, I think, again, I would go back to the European Central Bank that I mentioned. Great big countries like Italy are extremely reliant on the largesse of the European Central Bank. I think that volatility is going to be critical in 2019, and I would look for the trade war to stay on the front burner as well, because if all we're going to do is kick the can down the road for 90 days, that means that it's going to be front and center and a cause of concern for investors as we start to look down and say, gee, February is right around the corner. Now we've got to worry about it blowing up all over again. So I think that as volatile and unsettling as 2018 has been, I think investors should be prepared for continued, if not heightened, volatility going into the new year.
One more time, Quill Intelligence, where can they find you online?
Go to quillintelligence.com, and you can always follow me on Twitter at DiMartino Booth.
Perfect. Danielle DiMartino Booth, thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And she joins us on the Quiver River Electric guest line. Up next, I wanted to talk about considering ticketing people for leaving cars unattended. A lot of other cities do this sort of thing. They do it as a safety precaution because they don't like getting the call. Oh, my car got jacked. Oh, was the key in the ignition? Yeah. Were you by it? No. Obviously, it's not a great thing to do, but I think that's a risk that the owner should be able to take. What do you think? We'll get your calls next. Overnight America, KMOX.
Keeping you up and making you think. This is Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX.
Welcome back to Overnight America. Here we are. There I was, KMOX Studios, hanging out with producer Mike, who's paid to hang out with me on weeknights. You would think That was a great interview. Danielle DiMartino Booth. Smart. She knows what she's talking about. KMOV did this story, and I'm going to read this to you real quick. If you warm up your car in the morning and leave it unattended, you could get a ticket. A lot of cities do this sort of thing. It's something that they try to use as a method to prevent cars from getting stolen. I hate that. I don't like the idea. You're in a neighborhood. You want to start your car up, and you're not in the car. You're putting your car at risk, obviously. Obviously, there's some vulnerability with that sort of thing. If you have to park your car outside and you don't want to sit in the car for 5 or 10 minutes while it warms up before you can move, I understand that too. Police shouldn't be going around. Are you telling me we have so many officers, we have an abundance of officers right now, that we can just spare some to go around the neighborhoods handing out tickets to people that have their car warming up in their own driveway? Now, come on. Do we really have to go this far? And do we have to use this type of police resource in order to make sure cars don't get stolen? Last time I checked, you know what kind of cars are getting stolen? What about, you want to start downtown St. Louis and work your way out? How about we start here, and then we work out to some of these outlining areas where most of the problems are, I don't know, not statistically the highest. So St. Louis County Police are considering issuing tickets after a rash of stolen cars that were left warming up. I, at one point in my life, was living in Milwaukee with probably the worst winter I've ever lived. It was miserable, terrible. Tell me, I'm just going to be honest here, and I don't think I'm the only one that's ever thought this. I was miserable living up there. It was about 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning. I was getting in my car to try to warm it up to get to my job. And the snow was, as you know, up to my waist, and it was below zero for like 2 straight weeks there. And I'm thinking to myself, I hate this warming this stuff up. I hate driving in the cold. I hate being out in the cold. I hate walking through snow. And I don't like going to the job in the morning. And as I pulled out of the driveway of the house I was sharing with a roommate, flat tire, one of my tires were flat. And I'm on the side of the street, sitting in snow, and all my clothes are wet as I'm trying to get this flat tire off my car, knowing I'm going to be late to work already, and try to replace it with the spare tire. And I thought to myself, and I'm just going to ask you anonymously if you've ever done this. I thought to myself, you know what? If this car jack were to slip and were to fall on my leg and I had to go to the hospital and get a couple of days off, that wouldn't be such a bad thing, because I was just so tired of it all. I'm like, I want to get out of this. Obviously I didn't want to like get permanently disabled or anything. I just thought, you know, it would be nice. A couple of days off in the hospital where, something that wouldn't kill me or permanently hurt me, just a few days off and something that wasn't my fault. Have you ever thought that? Are you serious? You never thought that before? Maybe it's just me, but I'm just being brutally honest. And I remember that, and I'm thinking it wouldn't be that bad of a thing, because then I wouldn't be able to say to myself, I'd at least be able to say to myself, it wasn't my fault, it was an accident. Never happened, of course. But, man, that was probably a telltale sign I shouldn't have been working there, you know? Eventually, I ended up leaving that job anyway. And it was the best thing I did, because I moved back to Ohio because of my now wife lived there, and things worked out pretty good there. And now we're here in St. Louis, and I've never once thought about that here. That's probably a good sign. But I think also all the people that are out there, they're probably parking outside. It's cold enough. They got all these other things going on in their lives. You know, give them this one courtesy. If they want to warm the car up and not be miserable, then let them do that. Do you really have to drive door to door? Do you really have to go around searching this out? At some point, this is one of the problems I have with the city. At some point, you got to stop hassling people about these little things. You know, if you want, what's more important? You got a car that was just jacked out of someone's driveway. Terrible. It's bad. We don't want that. But are you going to be more suited on the road trying to pull over some of these cars that have no license plate, no tags? Why? Because, hey, you might be pulling over someone that probably stole that car, or possibly someone that has a warrant out or whatever it is. Why don't you enforce the people that are doing 95 on some of these freeways as they're flying by? Why don't you enforce that? Why don't you start with some of these other issues that we have and work your way down? If we're living in such a utopia right now where the worst problems we have in the city are people that are warming up their driveways, and that is what you decide to start working on, then okay, I got it. There's nothing more important. But I can think of about 30, 40, 50, 60 more things that I would rather see the police focus their time on. Honestly. What do you think, though? Do you hate it when you look out the window and there's a car unattended? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. County police are now considering issuing tickets to drivers who leave their car alone. Normandy and Florissant have ordinances in place that prohibit residents from warming up their car unattended. Come on now. We got better things to do. Sometimes you just need that little bit of common sense. Why don't we just make that, you know how they put their mission statement on the walls wherever you go? If someone is really big into that sort of thing, if a business is big, they put it in big letters. And why don't we just, in every government building across the region, we put, do we have better things we could be doing? ? And if the answer is yes, then maybe it's time for you to take people off of the ticketing department that are going around looking for cars that are in driveways that are warming up in the morning and reallocating their time somewhere else. Oh man, I can't be the only one that feels that way though. I'm probably not. Or maybe I am. Maybe I'm just crazy. 314-436-7900. Yeah, there's nothing like just being miserable in the morning and trying to scrape your windshield. And there's snow, and then you gotta, oh, I gotta get gas now. Oh, great. Now I gotta get out of my car just as soon as it warmed up. Now I gotta get to the gas station. Ugh, now I gotta get out. Oh, the pump's broken. Ugh, now I gotta move my car to another pump. Oh, I wonder what this guy's doing over here. Why are they looking at me? And all these things that go through your mind in the morning. You're trying to drink a little bit of coffee as you're going down the road. You're thinking to yourself, how's my boss gonna hassle me today? I'm gonna go in there, and they're gonna jump on my back immediately. Oh, man, I hope Linda stops talking about her hysterectomy. Oh, I'm just tired of hearing all of this. And then you're going in your mind, all the things. Oh, I got to catch up on this. I'm never going to get this done this week. I got so much stuff to do. I'm going to have to eat my food on top of my keyboard again. The last thing you want to do is start the day off with a police officer issuing a ticket because you just tried to warm your car up in the driveway. And I don't think it attracts people to your neighborhood that are going around. I guess there could be people that are tempted when they see this sort of thing in your driveway. Oh, I can just get in and out real quick. I think the bigger problem, people that leave their car running in public places. I think outside of the driveways, people that leave their car running at gas stations, what are you doing? And even then, if you get out of your car and you got kids in the car, you better not be leaving that car running, right? That's a mistake. We just heard a story last week about that, where the kids were still in the car and someone tried to drive off with it. Real, real terrible, scary things. So you got to be smart when you do these things. But if it's just you in the morning trying to get to work or whatever, why do we do these things? We're going to take a call from anonymous officer. Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Ryan, I was just going to let you know, I was going to get your opinion on, I'm going to give you a comparison.
Okay.
What do you think of the dog leash laws? Do you think it's a good idea, or should people be able to let their dogs run?
Oh, no, I think you need to be responsible for your dog, yeah.
Well, and it's, you know, to keep somebody from getting hurt, they could attack somebody or whatever.
True.
So the police don't want to enforce dog leash laws. We've got dogs. We want them to run around, too. I don't want to have to sit in my car to warm it up. But what happens when somebody steals a car? A policeman steals a car. You'd like me to get your car back for you because I'm looking at your car.
Mm-hmm.
I try to stop your car. The drivers never stop. They always run from us. So the next thing you know, the driver's running 80 miles an hour and goes through a red light. And he ends up killing somebody. So who created that situation?
Was it
the policeman?
No, I think that the liability of someone stealing a car as a piece of property is a lot different than the liability of a dog going and biting someone, don't you?
No, I mean, I think it just puts the public in general in a bad situation.
Huh.
And I think there's a person that's responsible for that, and that's either the person who owns the car or the person that owns the dog.
Or the person that stole the vehicle. They're the ones that were behind the wheel when they did it.
They're never liable for anything they do.
They are reliable. They are responsible for that, right? They're the ones that...
Hold them responsible. I've never really seen it happen or seen much good come out of it, but...
So you're saying because people aren't responsible, we have to try to shift that responsibility to the owner of the vehicle that has it in their own driveway?
We always do. You shift the responsibility to the most responsible person. It's not going to be the person that stole the car.
Huh. Well, that's whatever someone does with a piece of property that's stolen, you don't normally hold the person that was stolen from responsible. I mean, in most cases, I can think of probably a few cases if someone doesn't, for example, secure a gun and someone uses it for a crime. I mean, that could be put back to the owner in that standpoint. But I mean, there's not a lot of instances.
I think your example is almost the same as mine because you're not responsibly securing your property.
Oh, okay. So any other...
And I'm not saying the policemen are going to necessarily enjoy writing those tickets.
Yeah.
But the segment you did before that, it's the guy that has to explain the crime. It's driving your numbers up in crime. And it's something that can be avoided.
Okay. Yeah. I guess it is something that could be avoided. Sure. All right. Hey, I appreciate your thoughts. Thank you.
Hey, no problem.
Bye. Okay. What do you think of that? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I guess I have a problem with that analogy with the dog, but it's not about that analogy per se. I think if anything's stolen off of your property, and there's a lot of things on your property that are unsecured, that if it's used later in a crime, sure, it's a car, but the car was still stolen. I would be, okay, let's take some more calls on this coming up. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Local news, award-winning news, St. Louis's news, traffic and weather. KMOX, depend on it.
And welcome back to Overnight America. You know, we had someone holding the line, but they dropped off. An interesting thought with ticketing people for letting them warm their vehicle up on their own property. If you have a piece of property and you own it, even if it's not secured, it's still your piece of property, right? And if someone steals it and if they use your stolen piece of property in a crime, there's only a few circumstances I can think of where you'd still be responsible. You know, for example, if it was a minor that picked up your firearm that was not secure, something like that inside the home. But I think a better analogy for this would be, what if you don't lock your doors? So like, let's say you have a house and you don't lock your front door and someone walks in because it's not locked and takes something, who knows, could be a weapon, could be something else. It's, to me, almost a similar situation. You know, they might not have broken the door down or they might not have busted the door open. They still got into the property somehow. And they still took something from you. And at that point, I don't know how you'd be responsible for someone breaking into your own piece of property and say that they are the ones that transfer responsibility of their crime back to the original owner when it was out of your hands. A dog's different, though. A dog is, obviously, if you have a dog off a leash and it goes to attack someone or whatever it is, you're still responsible for your property. But it's not like a scenario like a car where someone has, the intermediate took your property away from you and then used it in an improper way. So the dog, even if it's not on a leash, is still your property and you still have to take a, be responsible for that sort of thing. I guess kids in a certain way and parents would be a better scenario for that. Brian called in before, said, why don't people just lock their cars while warming it up? You have two sets of keys. Perfect. That's exactly what would be the better thing to do. Jeannie calling in from St. Louis. Hey, Jeannie, what's going on?
Hey, we have remote start on our car.
Oh, yeah, they're great.
At the end of the driveway, which is, not 20 feet from the street. The car is locked. We remote start from inside. In order to start the car, if you break into the car and you step on the brake, it dies because you don't have a key to reset it. So are you going to get a ticket?
If your doors are locked and there's no one in there, I don't know. Do you think they get out of their vehicle and check the doors? I don't know. I don't think they can. Why would they, right?
It's also on, yeah.
You know, Jeannie, that's interesting because how much do those warm-ups, those remote starts, last time I checked, they're only like $100 to get them installed. It's not like a giant expense.
You're right. Yeah. It's not that expensive. It's less than $200.
Yeah, it's worth it. I used to have one on one of my vehicles I had. And the way the technology is advancing on those things, they have it where the range on those things is unbelievable. You can get them anywhere, right?
Yeah, right. If you're inside an office building and you can go to a window, you can start your car from there if you're in the parking lot.
Yeah, that's a good point. What do they do? Do they even get out of their car, or do they just send you a ticket in the mail? Like some of these, like remember how they used to do it with the cameras where they would just register your license plate and send it to you in the mail? I wonder if they do that or if they physically go put a ticket on your windshield. I don't know. I can't see them getting out of their car. So then, Jeannie, all of a sudden you're in a position where you have to defend yourself, take time off of work to go to court and fight the ticket or something. Yeah, that's one more thing you want to do. You know, Jeannie, that's a good point. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate that.
Good night.
And there was one person by the name of Charlie LaDuff, and this might play back into it. He's a journalist out of Detroit. And he brought this up in his book. And when we interviewed him, I bring his name up all the time because I really like this guy. He was here in St. Louis for the Ferguson riots. And this is what he said. He said, when people get fed up, they get fed up by all the government. It's not just police. It's not just where they watch what happened in Ferguson or whatever. And by the way, I'm definitely on the side of police when it comes to the Ferguson thing. So don't try to take me out of context here. But what I'm saying is when someone's fed up, they don't like any government. If the city hall is trying to say you need to pay a fine because you let your lawn go too long or whatever it is, yeah, there's useful ordinances in place, but the people that get those tickets see there's government hassling me again. It's not just, you know, getting pulled over. It's not just someone giving you a ticket for warming up your car in the driveway. It's here's a fine because instead of backing into a spot downtown, you pulled your front of your car in, or the mailman lost your package that you're waiting for. It's government. They look at that and say, there's government that's messing with the little guy again. City Hall coming around and saying, you got to do things a certain way. That's government messing with you again. People are just tired of government messing with them. And this is one of those little things where it just annoys so many people. It annoys the crap out of them, you know? They say, I'm tired of getting hassled everywhere I look. Let's take, okay, better instance. How about in the last couple of weeks, we've heard people call in, and we had one man in particular say he got ticketed for trying to give a blanket to the homeless people downtown St. Louis. They're tired of government messing with them. They're like, I can't even help homeless people. Like tonight, right now, downtown, it's about 29 degrees. Some of the outlining areas like St. Charles is 22 degrees. And there's homeless people. And there's not place, there's shelters that are overloaded. You can call these numbers and ask for assistance. And what will they tell you? Well, we'll put you on a waiting list, but we're full for tonight. Yeah, it's 20 degrees outside. Add the wind on top of that. It's even worse. There's no place for some of these people to go. And every day when I leave the radio station here, I see people lined up with no place to go. We see Elliot Davis from Fox 2. And then we have people out there trying to help the situation. And they get a ticket for handing out blankets. And same thing, too. We saw that story. I don't know if it was Fox 2 or KMOV or whatever it is, where a guy said, I'm going to go fight this. This is ridiculous. Ended up getting the ticket dismissed. But still, he got the ticket. Trying to help the homeless. I think if you were to eliminate some of these things and try to knock out the areas where people feel like they're just getting hassled, there's legitimate cases. And then there's times where people feel like they're just getting hassled by the government. This is, to me, one of those times. But if you want to text in on that, you can. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Yeah, let's do something a little bit more fun in the next hour. I got a bunch of food stories for you. You know what the next big food trend is? It's on pizza, I'll tell you that. And I don't want to tell you anymore. And as you are making Christmas cookies this year, do you let the kids lick the batter? To me, if my wife makes a batch of cookies or brownies or whatever it is, and she doesn't give me the option to lick the bowl clean, I'm upset. If I wake up from a nap, because I take naps during the day, and there's a bowl sitting in the sink, and there's water to the brim of it, as in she just made something, and she didn't give me the option, she didn't save it for me. I'm like, what are you doing? You know I was going to lick that bowl. Well, FDA is coming up and trying to ruin everyone's fun again. And I'm sure I'll just ignore them. We'll get some of your calls and comments, too. It looks like some people are lining up for the hassling part. Maybe it's good that we continue to talk about this. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. If you can wait, we're going to get to CBS News, and we'll take your calls right after that and your comments, too. Or if you want to email me, ryan.recker@kmox.com. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.